Welcome to the Which Way Do You Eat Your Banana series of personal and management development audio guides. To subscribe or download episodes, visit www.think.gb.com.
Hello, it's Gavin, and today's podcast is on influencing skills. Now, this is going to be of particular interest to anybody who is alive. Anybody who's alive and has to deal with anybody else in the world will find this podcast to be of use. So whether it's work-based, whether it's home-based with your partner, your missus, your husband, or actually, in particular, if you've got kids, you will get a lot out of this simple concept on how to influence people. So I hope you find it useful, and let's just crack straight into it. So the podcast is split into two parts. Part one, what to do before you begin to influence, and part two, what to do during influence. With all podcasts that I do, they are based on some theory, but they're tested in reality. Everything I talk about on this podcast and all the other podcasts I use on an everyday basis. You'll find this particularly useful if you have to manage people, including that could be your boss, if you're dealing with conflict management, if you're negotiating, if you're selling, if you are trying to get a pay rise, or just trying to win an argument in a pub. Whatever it is, you'll find this will help. And the good thing about this particular strategy on influence, it is probably the simplest of all the things I talk about. And the weird thing is, probably the least used by most people I come across in business or social circumstances, with the exception of, weirdly enough, kids. Up to a certain age of, say, 10, kids become the Jedi masters of influence. And then, don't know what happens, well, I think I do actually, but during the 10 plus years, they gradually lose their powers. So part one, the pre-influence strategy. This will be kind of subdivided into three separate parts. There are probably many more things you could look at it in this section. Just Google it. I'm sure there'll be plenty of other strategies. But for me, these are just three simple things to bear in mind before you attempt to go into, I was going to say battle, it's probably the wrong word, go into any influencing scenario. So the first part of this part one would be to look at something called perceptual positions. Now, if you've never heard of this, perceptual positions is just about viewing a situation from several different perspectives. Now, the first perspective is you. This is position number one. So what are you thinking? What do you want? What's going on in your mind? What's going on in your shoes? The second position is the other person you're dealing with. So what's going on in their shoes? What's going through their mind? What's happening in their world? And the third position is the independent observer position. So this is viewing your world and their world and being able to make an independent view and give advice from this higher perspective. So why is this an important area to look at? Well, from my experience, for most people I deal with, when they're trying to influence other people, they spend most of their time, actually usually 100% of their time, in position one, which is their shoes. So they're only thinking about the world in their particular way, and then they go and try and influence someone else with just their own view on the world, and then get surprised when the other person has a different view and doesn't go along with them. So the trick here is to have a look at your position first of all. What do you want? What's going on in your world? What's in your shoes? And then take a little bit of time and sit in the other person's shoes and think about the world from their point of view. What are they looking for? What's important to them? Etc. etc. So that takes care of position two. Then all you need to do is move to position three, which is the independent observer, and look at what you want, look at what they want, and then give advice to yourself from an independent point of view, because you've managed to see the full 360 scenario of what's going on. So I use the perceptual positions virtually every day when I'm working with people, especially when there's some kind of conflict going on between individuals. So they'll tell me what's wrong with the situation, so they'll be very much in position one. And then I ask him, okay, well, what do you think the other person is thinking? What do you think it's like in their shoes? And usually, initially, they struggle to get into their position because they'll just go, well, they're just being awkward. You know, they're just a nightmare. They're a pain in the backside. I say, yeah, okay, I understand all of that. But forgetting all of that, what do you think is going on in their shoes? And then they start becoming more intelligent because they go, oh, probably this or that. I can possibly see where they're coming from. And then, because I'm the kind of independent observer of the situation, I can then give some very good advice because I have both sides. So why don't you try this next time you've got a situation coming up where you need to influence some other person. Have a look at what you want to get out of the situation, but then have a look at what the other person's world is like. And then what I do, because sometimes people find position three, the independent observer, to be quite difficult to do, is just hand it to a trusted colleague and give them the scenario and say, this is my view, this is what I think their view is, what advice would you give to me? And they'll be your independent observer. This then neatly leads you on to the concept of win-win, which is fundamentally important in any influence or negotiation situation. If you have a situation where you have a lose-lose, no one wins and you both end up crying. If you lose, they win, you don't feel very good, they may feel powerful. If you win and they lose short term, you may feel good, but trust me, karma will come and bite you and you'll get some payback in the future. What you need to look for is a win-win scenario, so you both come away feeling good about the situation. Going through the three perceptual positions of your position, their position, and position three, the independent observer, will give you the best chance of looking for a win-win scenario. So the final part of the pre-influencing strategy for me is attitude, your state of mind. So make sure you are in the right state, not a rad state, the right state before you enter any kind of influence or negotiation situation. To give you some context, think back to the last time you felt fantastic when you had one of those world-conquering days. I can guarantee you your influencing skills on that day would have been absolutely phenomenal. Now think of a time when you had such a small amount of energy, you had such huge self-doubts, you just felt absolutely exhausted. I can also guarantee you, you influenced absolutely nobody during the whole day. Now, if you could rate how you feel from 1 to 10, 1 being absolutely rubbish and 10 being Captain Sex, Luke Skywalker, just top man or woman, then the trick is, before you go into an influencing scenario, you need to be as near as 10 as possible. Now, this is just how you feel. And for most people, they'd go, well, I can control that because I control the way I feel. Well, if this was true, you would spend most of your time feeling great. But the reality is we spend most of our time bouncing anywhere between 1 and 10. We have very little control of the way we feel. However, you can train yourself to get in exactly the state you want based on using your brain properly. Now, I'm not going to cover how to do that on this podcast because I've done it before on previous podcasts. So all you need to do is go into the podcast section of iTunes and look for the magic circle, which is a very neat little way of instantly getting yourself in the right state of mind. Or I would suggest you go to iTunes, it's not on the podcast side, and search for the River of Poo, which looks at motivation and how you can control the way you think. So before you go into any influence scenario, make sure you are in the right state and not a rat state. So quick recap on the pre-influencing strategy. Number one, look at perceptual positions. Your position, their position, and the independent position. Number two, always go for a win-win scenario. It will pay dividends in the very long run. And number three, make sure you're in the right state of mind before you begin to start to influence. Okay, let's look at part two, which is how to influence. So this is when you're in the situation itself. This is a very simple technique or strategy, which I find so useful all the time. I use it every single day of my life. It helps me get things I want, and it also keeps me very much out of trouble. So I just need you to kind of imagine a scenario. Let's say there's two people, me and someone else, and we're standing, I don't know, 10 yards apart. And right smack bang in the middle of where we're standing is a white line. And on my side of this white line, the area of the ground is green. And on the other side, when I step into the other person's half, that area is red. So basically, when you're having conversations with people, there are two halves. There's the green half and there's the red half. So there are two halves to the conversation, the green side and the red side. And when you have a conversation with someone else, you'll be either in the green side or in the red side. Now, you won't always be in the green and you won't always be in the red. You'll be jumping from one side or the other. And the other person will be doing exactly the same thing back to you. They'll either be in the green side or they'll be jumping to the red side. And the conversation will go on with both sides jumping between green and red. Now, when you are on the green side, you are trying to understand the other person. This is where you're trying to get deeply into position two. So this involves good rapport. So if in doubt about things like rapport, go to the communications podcast to tell you all about how to get rapport. So you're trying to deeply get into their shoes. It also involves excellent listening skills and excellent questioning skills. So asking good open questions in order to fully understand the other person. So the green position is just about understanding and rapport. You could call it a pulling position. Now, when you step over the line into the red position, you are now putting your point of view across. And you can do this in many ways. It could be persuading, which is a very open way, but you're still trying to put your point of view across. You could be demanding, you could be assertive, you could be shouting, whatever. If you're putting your point of view across in any way, you're in the red position of the conversation. So in conversational terms, this could be likened to pushing. So on the green side, you're pulling, and on the red side, you are pushing. So in life, from a physical point of view, if somebody walked up to you and pushed you, so they're in the red zone, you wouldn't naturally try and understand them. You wouldn't naturally go, oh, I wonder why they did that. You'd either push them back or you'd quickly run away. But you certainly wouldn't be questioning, well, I wonder what's going on in their shoes. So taking it from a physical situation to a conversational point of view, generally speaking, what I see in my working life when I observe lots of people working together is that most people tend to push. They put their point of view across and then the receiving person will push back. And when you have a push-push situation going on, you either get a stalemate or you get one person stronger than the other and they push them over, which is definitely either a lose-lose or a win-lose scenario. If you don't believe me, next time you go to a meeting, just watch what happens. Someone will say, I think this, and rarely will you hear someone go, oh, interesting point, tell me more about that. They'll go, yeah, but I think this, and we get a push-push scenario going on where both people are in the red zone. So going back to the physical world, if you think of something like judo, I'm not a judo expert, but I've seen a bit on telly, and I've spoken to a few people who do judo, and they'll go, yes, I agree with you. If you've got an opponent who pushes another opponent in the kind of moves they do, and if the other person, instead of pushing back, pulls them, so they take their force and weight and pull them, they can throw them anywhere they want to because they have the power and the control. And the same thing happens in conversation. If somebody pushes you, if you push back, then you'll either get a stalemate, or if this person pushing you is stronger than you in, say, a power point of view in the company, they're going to push you over. However, if you pull and go into the green zone, you will take control of the situation. Now, the reason why I've given these two zones colours is because green, to me, is it's a safe, a good place to be. Whenever you step over that line and start putting your point of view across, be careful because you're entering the red zone, which is potential danger, where you might get someone naturally pushing back on you. And from my experience, most people spend 70% of their time in the red zone and wonder why they don't get what they want to get. Now, you know, there can never be a definite percentage you should spend in the green and a definite percentage you spend in the red, because it all depends on the situation, the people, the circumstances, etc., etc. But as a general rule of thumb, if you are spending more time in the red zone than the green zone, you probably aren't using your influencing skills that well. So as a general rule of thumb, I would spend at least 60% of my time in the green zone to fully understand where the other person's coming from and to get deep rapport with them so that I can influence them. To quote Steve Covey, the guru of gurus of management development, seek first to understand before being understood. So good, I'll say it twice. Seek first to understand before being understood. So that's the general principle. Let me give you some practical demonstrations of how I've used or observed this in the past, so you can try and make some connection to this high-level theory to the reality of potentially your world. So common scenarios I come across where this red zone, green zone push-pull would be of use are, firstly, sales presentations or pitches. More often than not, the salesperson or the presenter will turn up, spend very little time in the green zone, have a very blinded understanding of anything about the client and what it's like in their shoes, and they'll turn on their PowerPoint or they'll bring out their materials and they'll go through their presentation and pray to God that they've got the silver bullet and this is exactly what the client needs or wants. Now, it's very easy to spot these types of salespeople or presenters. Basically, their conversion rate to sales will be low, so they'll do lots of appointments but not bring in much business. And they'll always come up with, well, the client needs to think about things and things like that. It just means that they haven't really understood the client before they've given the pitch. And the same goes for negotiations. People just play their cards too early. They go, oh, how about this? Without really getting into position to fully understanding what's going on with the other person, really getting deep rapport, good questions, listening skills, before they decide to play their cards. Another scenario, conflict management. If you get any conflict going on with people, you'll usually find both people are high in the red zone with little understanding or appreciation of the other side, and all you need to do is get them to understand the other side, and then they can come to some common ground. If you're married or have a partner, I'm sure you'll be well aware of this one. When you have an argument with your partner, it usually starts off with a it starts off gently, and then it really gets into full red zone. I think this, no, you're this, and da 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 da. And there's just absolutely no room for understanding or compassion or empathy. It's just full on red zone. So next time you're in the middle of a row with your partner, try this. So they're going, I think you're just a nightmare. Da, 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 da. Just go calmly. This is you moving into the green zone. Go, fair point. Tell me a bit more about it. And when they do tell you about it, don't go back into push. Just keep exploring and try and get rapport again. And you watch the dynamic of the conversation change. And you'll chuckle in your mind. And do this in your mind. Don't chuckle out loud because you'll start the row again. You'll chuckle in your mind how fantastic you are at this red zone and green zone. Which reminds me not of a row I've had with my partner, but I used to do some work for a company where I was managing their sales force for a couple of days a week. And I was on the road and I got a phone call from one of the managers in the company. And she was in a very, very, very bad mood. She was screaming down the phone. Someone had really upset her clearly. And I couldn't get any sense out of her. So she was in high red zone, high push mode. So I decided to go into the green zone and pull and ask some questions. I don't think I'd be able to get rapport at the moment because one, I was on the phone, and two, she was in a really, really bad mood. So I said, Karen, how tall is the hedge outside your house? And she went, what? I said, how tall is the hedge outside your house? And she went, I don't know, about 5 foot? And anyway, back to, she was still ranting, but had calmed down a bit. So I said, okay, interesting about the hedge, Karen. You know, the front door of your kind of house, what kind of design has it got? And she went, well, it's kind of, I don't know, it's like just a, why are you asking me all these questions about my door and my hedge? The point is, I'd got her to a level where I could get back into rapport and then get her to fully articulate what the issue was so I could understand and then give some kind of advice. So I was telling this story to a group of people I was training on influence, and this chap went, oh, that's interesting, because I was on a train the other day and this man came up to me with a knife. So I guess he would be in very red zone, as you'd call it, Gavin. I went, I guess so, yeah. And he had a knife and he said, give me your phone. And I was obviously completely shocked, started shaking. But for some reason I said, well, before I give you the phone, would you mind if I took the SIM card out so I can keep my contact details? I have no idea why I said this, but I guess from what you've thought about, Gavin, that would be the green zone. I went, I guess so, yeah. And so the guy said, well, yeah, okay, still with his knife. So I tried to take the SIM card out, but because I was shaking, it was taking a very long time. And in the end, the train pulled into the station, the guy just gave up and ran off. Now, those last two scenarios are probably quite extreme examples of this green and red zone. And for the first one, if your boss is pushing you in the red, you know, if he's using lots of red zone stuff, I wouldn't ask your boss how tall his hedge is because I think he might fire you. It just happened to be an example where because I was in charge, I could kind of play with this kind of thing. For the last scenario of the knife on the train, I have no advice on that one, but clearly in this circumstance, it seemed to work particularly well. But a while back, I mentioned about kids being Jedi experts at this green red zone push pull thingy. To give you a real life example of that, I was coaching one of my clients, some director of something, and we were talking about influence, and then he told me this story about his daughter, and it was such a perfect example of kids being the Jedi masters of this green red zone. I thought I'd share it with you. So his daughter, she was about 8, went, Dad, can I have a rabbit? Which is, as you know, a red zone. It's a push kind of combo. You know, you are putting your point of view across. And the dad went, no, which is again another kind of a pushback, as in no. And the daughter went, oh, Dad, please, please, can I have a rabbit? No, 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 but please, please, please. And he went, no, 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 no. Now, this daughter, being a bright young thing, decided to leave it there and then and left it a couple of days and then started saying things like, Dad, hey, I like the way you look, like the suit, looking pretty cool. And then she started asking theoretical questions about rabbits, about how long they live, what huts they live in, and how often they need feeding. So just general discussions and questions and understanding of the father about kind of what he wasn't keen on about rabbits, the fact that he didn't think that she would ever feed it and it end up his responsibility and it would stink, etc. So she just really understood why the dad had concerns about the rabbit. So her next ploy, after spending lots of time in the green zone, which she doesn't know she's in a green zone, she's just a natural Jedi master. Her next ploy was when the dad came home from work, he opened the door to the house and the house was covered in self-drawn pictures by the little girl of rabbits. Now, the little girl had now entered the red zone. She didn't know she was in a red zone again because she's a Jedi master, but she was starting to put her point of view across in this particular case in a visual way. And she went, Dad, can I have a rabbit? And Dad went, go on then. So these are just some scenarios I've come across. There are billions of different scenarios that you come across where this green zone and red zone, I think, will be invaluable. All I'd ask you to do is, why don't you observe for the next week or so? Just observe people having conversations with each other and see how much time they spend in the red zone compared to the green zone. I'm pretty sure you'll be able to identify at least 70% of their time is spent in the red zone. And if you're trying to influence someone, you just need to get good rapport and really good understanding of their side of the world, first of all, before you decide to put your view across. If you do that, your chance of influencing will be dramatically increased. So there we are, 25-ish minutes on influencing skills. Just to recap, first of all, look at your pre-influence strategy. Look at your positional positions. Look at what you want from your side, position one. Then look at the other side, position two. What is the other person thinking? What do they want? What's it like in their shoes? And then step into position three and have an independent look on both sides. Next point, make sure you look for a win-win scenario in your influencing skills. And the final point on the pre-influencing strategy, before you begin to influence, get your state of mind spot on. Then when you're in the influencing situation, just make sure you spend more than 50% of your time in the green zone, which is getting rapport and deeply understanding where the other person's coming from. Because once you do that, when you start putting your point of view across and you enter the red zone, you're more likely to get a yes. Remember Steve Covey, seek first to understand before being understood. So I hope you found the podcast useful and interesting. As always, if you want us to come along and give you a hand, you can contact us at info@thinktd.co.uk. Until next time, take care. See ya.